Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day. Thanks for showing some BOGP love and coming back to kick off the weekend a little early, as we do every Friday here on the show. It's a little bit different because we did Is This Romantic on Wednesday. So here on Friday, we're doing listener questions, including a great question from listener Elise, who's always in our live chat. We appreciate that so much, about Port Orleans dining and classic cars. What could that be about? Stay tuned for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for that next Disney getaway, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, work with a platinum earmarked agency. Drop by themagicforless.com, read all the testimonials, see all the great specials they offer, and then while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away, and you're going to be planning a possible Disney trip. Right now is the time to book those trips for Walt Disney World. The rest of 2019 is filling up quickly, I can tell you right now. If you're thinking about going the rest of this year, at least get that deposit down, get your room secured. It's 100% refundable till final payment. Move on that as quick as you can. So check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. Just bookmark our site. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That little link helps support the show. It helps cover the hosting and the bandwidth, and it costs you nothing extra. And of course, you're still getting all of your Prime benefits. So bookmark it and use it often. We appreciate it so much. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1447 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And a little online radio station called Magical Mouse Radio. Check that out over at magicalmouseradio.com or on all of your smart devices. Just holler out to listen and you'll have some great Disney music playing for you right there. It is Friday, but we're doing a Wednesday thing. We're answering your listener questions because, well, I hope you came back after Wednesday's show, to be honest. We gave some love advice on certain situations at Walt Disney World, whether they were romantic or not. Hopefully you had some fun listening to the show. It's just a way to talk about different things you can do around Walt Disney World and, you know, share that with those that you love. It was just kind of tongue-in-cheek and a lot of fun. So thanks for all the submissions. We had a great time doing that, but today we are back to business answering your listener questions. So joining me with all of her knowledge, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, what's going on?
Is it knowledge, though? Is it?
It's something.
Let's just ask that question.
That's true. I mean, we do spend a lot of time in the Disney community, so we got to, like, you know, try to spin this in a positive direction in some way. You know, we've spent decades doing this. We got to try to put it to some good use. It's like, you know, Superman's got his superpowers, but what if he never helped anybody? You know, like, what would that do?
A valid point. Okay, you're right. I am Superman. Actually, Superwoman. So, you know, let's just be perfectly honest. I'm Superwoman. And that's all that matters.
Well, I'm glad
I will have you call me that now from now on. Thanks, Mike.
Ricky, the most humble podcaster out there. There we go. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who is scratching her head looking at Ricky right now in the live feed. We have co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester.
Why am I friends with these people?
Exactly. What's going on, Pam? Happy Friday. Hope you have a good weekend.
Happy Friday. I'm going to have a great weekend because I'm headed down to the world. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing some sun and doing some of the new stuff that Disney has there for us. Then checking out. I haven't had the chance to see the art festival this year, so sort of looking forward to that too.
Enjoy
so.
All the food. It's so good. Oh my gosh.
I know. Yes. I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, it'll be a good time. Really.
I have less than a week and I'll be down there too, so I can't wait to see you. It's gonna be fun.
Wow, it will be fun.
All right, let's get the first question of the day. It's from Elise. She says, Port Orleans dining and classic cars. She says, hey Mike, I have two quick questions for my September trip. with my boyfriend. Our ADR date is coming up, so I'm working hard at nailing down our decisions. It'll be my boyfriend's first trip to the world and his birthday while we're there, so I'm planning things I know he'll enjoy. One of which is classic cars and arcades, so I'm trying to fit in a visit offsite to the Old Town Classic Car Show. We're planning to go to Port Orleans, Riverside, and French Quarter to explore on the same day that we do that. We know that we want to go to Sasagula Floatworks and Food Factory for the beignets and gumbo. So if you don't know, that's the food court over at French Quarter. But plan to dine at Boat Rides that night. We're thinking now that we may only dine at Sasagula that night so we can maximize our time exploring the resort before we head off site. The menu seems similar from what we're looking to enjoy. Will we be disappointed if we skip Boat Rides and only dine at the quick service location? How is the food at the quick service restaurant? Second question. I don't think that there is, but is there anywhere on property that has cars or bikes for viewing? Thanks so much for everything you do and for the joy you bring me through my work each week. Elise is 2,800 miles from Walt Disney World. She's a good ways. All right. So great question. We appreciate questions like this. So let's kind of tackle the dining at the French Quarter Resorts first. Is it sufficient to go over to French Quarter and eat counter service, or is she missing something by not going to Boat Rides? Pam, I know I'm a fan of Boat Rides. I don't go there as often as I should, but I enjoy it every time I do. I think you're in the same boat. So what would you do for this touring of French Quarter and Riverside?
So I really think it depends on what you're looking for. Boat Rides, I think, is a great place to go ahead and dine if you're looking for a table service location. But I will also tell you that I find the French Quarter menu, the counter service there, to be really above par and has been for consistently a long time. I often wonder if it's like an initiative on their part to actually make that happen. You may have heard Mike and I have talked a few times about they have some great breakfast options that include biscuits and chicken and all like an onion jam and all kinds of like yummy stuff. So it's actually, no, it's not onion jam. It's maple bacon.
Yeah,
jam.
Maple bacon.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Right?
Yes.
I know, but you can choose that and get like chicken, or there's also scrambled eggs with maple and ham. But I've also found that they have some really good entrees for lunch and dinner. And one of them includes, are you ready for this? I know Mike will like this if you haven't had it already, Mike. You get fried chicken, but then you get a choice of three sides that include collard greens, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, glazed carrots, red beans and rice. I mean, doesn't that sound good? Yes. Right? I know. But you can also have that same choice with like a blackened ribeye, which again is a great option, right? Barbecued ribs. They have jambalaya. They have a grilled chicken sandwich. They have cheesesteak. And of course, they have things like shrimp and grits and gumbo. So I think that French Quarter has really done a good job of having some, I know we're all starving, of having some good things available. It's more than your average, I think, counter service location in that respect. And I know that lots of places really try to do it, but it just feels so authentic there, I think, because you're eating there at French Quarter and really enjoying the surroundings. Take your food, by the way, outside. There are tables outside. Yes. Sit out there and enjoy the ambiance because it's awesome, and sometimes you'll see the horse carriage driving, trotting through there. So,
and the jazz music. You know, I think French Quarter has to try harder as a food, as a quick service location because they don't have the table service restaurant.
Right.
You know, it's way back when what was that place called? Bonfamils.
Bonfamils after the Aristocats.
See,
yeah.
I've never seen Aristocats, so I didn't know how you said it. But yeah, that was way back in the day. So I think they have to try a little harder since they don't have a table service location. But yeah, I would say as much as I like Boat Rides, if you're kind of into time crunch, skip it. Do the quick service. They have great food. Ricky, okay, what about the cars? I was really bikes. Okay, as far as like bikes, if she's talking motorcycles, she got the Harley store. Is that still at Disney Springs?
No, I believe it is. Yes. They moved, yes, but I believe it's still there. Now, the thing that I thought of when she's talking about cars, and I know it's not exactly the same, but I was thinking about maybe like the Amphicar from the boathouse, because you can go out on that. So what it is it's this this, it looks like a regular, you know, old fashioned car, but then it goes out and it goes out into the water there at Disney Springs. So you kind of get like the best of both worlds, like a car experience, but out on the, you know, like, but also kind of like a boat. So, yes, I think that that would be a great idea right there. Now, it does have a cost, and the cost is a little pricey. But, you know, if you're definitely looking for something that's unique and that involves cars and stuff like that, this is right up the right alley.
Yeah, I've been thinking on this one all day, and I can't think of a good place. You know, like, you have a boat museum in actually the boathouse. So if you're liking a classic boats, you know, they have that, but that doesn't really fit the bill. And I know these are totally fake, but if you want the atmosphere of the classic car era eating over at Sci-Fi, that's kind of a thematic, yeah, like with the, yeah, 50s cars. Pam, anything else you could suggest in this kind of area?
I can't. This is so not my area of expertise. The only other thing I was thinking of, and I can't really think of anything like this at Pop Century, but just that they sort of celebrate the different eras. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's it. But like, as far as classic cars and things like that, I can't really think of something like that.
All right. Next question. What's the big deal about Ohana? It's from Rebecca. Hey, BOGP crew, we're going on our third family trip to Walt Disney World, August 17th through 24th, 2019. We go about every 3 years, and this time we're staying at the Contemporary. As our 180-day mark is coming soon, we are planning out our ADRs, and we're trying to choose restaurants we haven't been to on our last two trips. We've got free dining, and we're trying to make the most of it. So my question is, what's the big deal about Ohana? Everyone raves about Ohana, but looking at the menu, it just doesn't seem that impressive. Of our family of four, three are big meat eaters, including two teenagers, so it seems like a good fit. But I just don't understand what's so great. Please convince me. Thanks, Rebecca. All right, good question. This one could get you in hot water. I'm just being careful because people have strong opinions about Ohana, so okay, tread lightly. All right, Pam, so what do you say? Talk her through the Ohana situation here.
So honestly, for me, I like some of the dishes that come out before the meat and the side dishes more than I even like the meat. And I'll just kind of go into that. First of all, I know this is going to sound weird. They have a salad, and the dressing on that salad is so good. It's just really, really great. I think it's like a lime honey vinaigrette or something like that.
I don't even like lime, and it's a good, like anything flavored lime, and it's a salad dressing. Yes, it is.
It's really great. So there's that. The things like the noodles that come out, the noodles and mm-hmm. what they dress those noodles with is like a peanut sauce. It again is really good. The thing I always find myself liking though is just the friendliness of the cast members that work there. They're doing stuff with the kids. They're, of course, the main event is the meat that comes to your table.
Yeah.
The sauces that they have available for you to dip those sauces into there. They have wings that also come out. It just is a really, it's kind of a fun experience. And it's a place you can go with a big group. They have a few different tables that sit really big groups. And sometimes that's really challenging to find too. I think that the thing that most people really like is that it's an all you care to enjoy kind of place. So they'll keep bringing more of whatever you want until you just tell them to stop. So
and with your teenagers, I think that's key right there. Yeah, you know, all the meat they can eat. I think that that's definitely key right there.
It's a good value on the dining plan too, because it's
absolutely
expensive.
Is.
Yeah, it's
and again, we got to remind everyone, the dining plan this year, I'm just saying, by the time you add in the specialty drinks, it is really, people are saving some serious money on this. So just remember that. And remember in places that are all you can care to eat, that the pricing fluctuates. Higher during what they consider prime times, and that's a lot of the year. So
yes,
when you're seeing the range, you're more often than not on that high range. So anyways, and the dining plan price doesn't change regardless of when you're going. So anyways, I just want to put that out there, because we've seen more people save money on the dining plan this year than we have in a long time, I think.
Yes. All right. Next question's from Josh. It says, we want to make a wish come true. Please help. He says, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, howdy from Wyoming, where the wind speed is regularly higher than the temperature. Right now, it happens to be -4 with 30 mile per hour gusts. Needless to say, we are excited for our Disney World adventure in March.
Yes.
I can imagine. Wyoming, I've been to Jackson Hole. It's so beautiful out there. We drove through one time. See, we've been listening to the podcast regularly since July and cannot thank you guys enough for all of your advice and suggestions. You've helped me plan up to a plan up a 6-day trip for 10 first timers, and I couldn't have done it without you guys. Thanks so much. Well, thank you. Recently, one of our great friends was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer, and the prognosis is grim. She is a grandmother of a 6-year-old and has wanted to bring her daughter and granddaughter to the world in the next couple of years. We would like to take them on a on this trip that starts on March 23rd. I have everything planned for the 10 of us, but I'm wondering about how to go about adding 3 more people to our plans. For instance, do I try to make a new ADR for 13 people and or switch it to 7 and 6? Just to try to get that one more ADR for the extra 3 people. The same question for fast passes. Additionally, we are going to need one more room, but Pop Century, where we're staying, is booked. What would be an alternative at this point? What else am I forgetting? Just need a little help this late in the game. Thanks for all you do and the joy you have brought to our lives these past few months of planning. Josh. Well, Josh, thank you so much for the kind words. Seriously, we're the lucky ones to get to do the show. And I think it's awesome that you're trying to help out this friend with the cancer, because those memories you can make are just things that the daughter and the granddaughter will treasure forever, as well as the grandmother. Again, a lot of effort. So, Pam, what would you say as far as, because I think we get into the situation a lot ourselves where, you know, like maybe you're joining it. In our circle of friends, we have a lot of folks who go down and then we, you know, Pam will join it. Like we'll decide to book last minute, or, you know, I'll decide to join in and the fast pass is already made. The ADR is already made. So what's the best course of action to try to handle something like this?
So first of all, the first thing you're going to want to do is secure some kind of room reservation for them. If you can't all stay at the same resort, look and see if there's a resort that you can all stay at, if you would be willing to move. If not, just get them booked at any resort and then you can go from there. Staying at 2 different resorts actually really doesn't impact the planning too much. So just think about that. You'll be fine in that space. As far as dining goes, why don't you, you know, you can look around on the Disney dining site. And again, you may have to change your times a little bit, but see if you can find dining times available for your entire party size. If not, give Disney Dining a call and see what they can do to help you. And again, as far as fast passes go, that's something else that you're going to want to try to do. You may not be able to get them added to the exact same time that you can, but see if you can get overlapping times, and then you'll be able to experience those attractions. And if all else fails, call IT. There's actually a number for that, and see if they can do anything to help you. But the key here is to just be a little flexible. I mean, you may have been able to get, you know, a certain ride at like 12:40, and maybe there you're not able to get it for them until, let's say, 1 o'clock. But guess what? You're going to have a big time that overlaps there. It's not the exact same time, but there's going to be a window in which you all can ride at the same time. So,
and I would say for the room, because of where you are, you're plus 31 days out, that Pop Century room might, that addition, because you're only looking for one additional room, might pop up right around 30 days, because that's when the packages cancel and people lose their deposits. So aggressively, like, you know, set a reminder to check in the morning and the evenings, and especially around that 30-day mark, where I bet you could grab that one room, and that way you don't have to shuffle everybody around. That'd be my piece of advice there. So, Ricky, any other thoughts?
The only thing I was thinking of was you said you have reservations for 10 with the ADRs, and I think isn't 10 the limit? So unless you call Disney. So you may need to do kind of like what Pam was talking about with the ADRs, make an ADR for the 3 of them at a similar time. And then when you go to the restaurant, say, hey, I know we have, you know, 2 separate reservations, is it possible that we can sit together? We would be happy to split up, you know, if need be, that kind of situation. If you can't get a hold of, you know, Disney Dining and they can't work something out for you too. So that might be another option.
And it actually varies according to restaurant, how big of a party you can reserve for, because there are certain restaurants that you can actually reserve online for a party of 12 or 14 or something like
that. Yeah, so. Like I said, it just depends. Yeah.
Yep.
But in this situation, I would call 407-WDW-DIME because a cast member can proactively kind of, you know, because the app is just looking at basic stuff. Like, you know, when you're doing it online, the website, it's just looking for that. But I mean, when you have a person who knows like what the end goal is, they can kind of, you know, work around the rigmarole to try to get you in the right spot. You got somebody working for you.
It's going to take, like we said, it's going to take some finagling, but it will definitely work out and you can, you know, get this done. Like Pam said, as long as you're flexible and can work with things, you know, and really, you know, if you need it to make the phone calls, you know, you'll be able to work something out so that it'll end up working. And I hope you guys have a fantastic time together. Yeah, and it's so, you know, as someone who has, you know, memories with her grandmother before she passed, it's one of my most treasured things ever. So I still get teary thinking about it. So
I hope it works out. Yeah. And it will. I mean, just, I think it will. So it's all good. Think good thoughts. All right. Dawn is up next. Her question is best burger in Disney. Hi, Mike. For my son's 10th birthday in March, I'm surprising him with a Mommy and Me trip to Walt Disney World. I find all the things he'll love, staying at All-Star Sports, going to After Hours at Hollywood Studios, and a meal at ESPN Club because March Madness starts while we're there. I haven't made many dining reservations because he's not a big eater. That said, his very favorite meal is a burger and fries. It's a smart kid. What are your recommendations for the best burger at Disney? We're spending the evening of our arrival day at Disney Springs. I've heard that Splitsville has a good burger, so I've made reservations there. However, I'm wondering if Deluxe Burger is the better option. Which restaurant has the better burger? I think she's just trying to make me do a tongue twister. If you have any other dining suggestions for a boy that loves his burgers, please let me know. Many thanks. Dawn is down in Nashville. Nash Vegas. All right. So trying to get a 10-year-old boy who likes burgers, the best burger on property. All right. So Ricky, where just anywhere on property, if you could have the best hamburger, where are you going?
I was going to go to Deluxe. Yeah, Deluxe Burger. I think they have a fantastic burger. You know, it's easy to get in because you don't have the ADRs, so it's easy to walk up. I think Deluxe Burger. My other option, I think I've heard Pam talk about the burger at Boathouse. It's really good.
Is
that right?
Oh,
or am I completely
good.
Off?
Yeah. The Gibson Burger is fantastic.
But it may not be the most basic burger either. I don't know how, like,
it's
picky
not a basic
or...
But it's not, I don't think it's anything on there that even a picky eater wouldn't like. They have a couple different burger choices. You can absolutely get a plain burger. You can add some things to the burger, but I will absolutely recommend the Sandwich King's Gibson Burger because it is really a great burger. You know, there's just so many good things to say about it. They are, the Gibson family of restaurants do a lot of steak. They get in some good meat and they make a great burger. The other place that I think makes a good burger is Cruise Cup. It is the lounge that is attached to Yachtsman. Again, another location that might have a good So anyways, but it is just, it's a good burger. It just really is a solid burger. And one of the places that we go if we're looking for that. And I'll tell you what, the funny thing is if we're there on an extended trip, at some point we start wanting to have a good burger and like a good piece of pizza. Like you just like want something like that. So I totally understand.
So if we had to decide, though, because it sounds like Disney Springs where she's going to be that day, we're all agreeing, though, Deluxe Burger over Splitsville, right?
Splitsville makes some solid burgers, too, I will say. They have some interesting burgers. But Deluxe Burger is easy to get into. You don't have to make, you know, ADRs, as Ricky said. You just sort of roll up. And I think their sauces are really interesting, too.
True.
So.
And also you got Beaches and Cream has a pretty good burger too. Just heads up there. Oh man, now I'm super hungry. All right, next question. This is killing me, man. This is from Dan in DE. So I'm guessing Delaware. Hey, it's a room upgrade is his question. Hey there, BOGP crew. We're heading to Walt Disney World for 7 nights in late August and are splurging by staying at the Contemporary. We're in a standard view garden wing room. While we would love to be in the main tower, it's just not in our budget. What, if any, is the best way to politely inquire about a possible complimentary room upgrade? I know it's a long shot, but you never know if you don't ask, right? I'm just not sure how to phrase the question. Your advice is appreciated. Dan. So these things are not happening like they did, say, 5, 6, 7 years in the past. So, you know, Pam, I know you always say book what you you're hoping, you know, what you want. And I mean, doubtful. I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt to ask, right? I mean, but I wouldn't expect anything.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to ask, but absolutely, you know, be prepared if you ask if any upgrades are available that, for them to go ahead and tell you that it's this much more per night. And that might be, you know, what, you know, so think about how you feel about that. I will tell you, though, the rooms at the Contemporary, whether you're staying in the Garden Wing or the Tower, all have the same decor. And it really has a bit of a contemporary flair to it. I was in those rooms not too long ago. I really think that the Contemporary is doing a good job keeping those rooms up. You know how sometimes like you walk into a room and everything looks fine, but just looks a little worn. We were there. That was absolutely not the case with the Contemporary. Everything looked really good. So consider that. I think they're fun rooms. And I think you're just so going to love the area that you're located at. You know, you have the ability to ride the monorail and the boats and things like that. But the best part of the Contemporary is being able to walk to the Magic Kingdom. That's absolutely my favorite thing to do. And you may actually find that you love the garden rooms. There's, you know, I've had people come back from staying there who were just like, we loved that. We felt like we were so close to the action, but then we could go remove ourselves and be in that part of the resort. And they really enjoyed that. So, you know, don't overlook the great experience that you might have there at the Contemporary.
And kind of a little travel agent inside baseball secret here for everybody. A lot of times you can catch a discount on the Garden Wing rooms and they're just slightly more than a moderate. And you're walking to the Magic Kingdom and you've got the monorail.
I know. It is so, I mean, it really, truly is. Oftentimes, you know, when a discount comes out, we try to say to folks, hey, look, you know, do you want to consider this? Like, this is your time to consider, you know, the Contemporary. It's there. Yeah, it is. It's a great resort.
All right, next question is about early morning magic. Ricky, be ready for this one. Hey, Mike, thanks for answering my question a few weeks ago about dining at Artist Point and the best transportation options. Your answers were really helpful, and you helped my family decide on what to do. It looks like the Magic Kingdom is doing early morning magic on Father's Day this year. That'll be our first day at the park. We're planning to be at Magic Kingdom for rope drop that day, but I was wondering how early morning magic would affect that. I know it's a limited ticket event, so will it really have that much impact on us? We are planning to head back to Fantasyland at rope drop. For various reasons, we aren't interested in doing extra magic hours. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much for the great shows. I look forward to each new episode. Allison is in St. Louis, so she's a neighbor here. So, Ricky, what do you think? Like, you know, how do you think about that when you have a plan and then you find like you're rope drop a park and you find, oh man, they're having a hard ticket event early that morning. What, especially at the Magic Kingdom, what are your thoughts?
And that's the hard part about these, you know, I've talked about it before about how Disney doesn't announce the dates for a lot of these, you know, early morning magic events or the Disney After Hours events or whatever, like, until later in the game. So you've got your plan set up and then something like this may or may not disrupt it. As far as how crowded it may be, and especially because you want to head back to Fantasyland first, and it's all Fantasyland attractions that these guests get to experience, you know, you may see a bump in the wait times. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I want you to be prepared, especially for something like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you know, because that is one of the attractions that's available for the early morning magic. You know, that one definitely sees an influx in people. Won't be as bad as it would be for, you know, an extra magic hour morning, because it's a smaller amount of people who are paying to go in. But if you were expecting to have, you know, the Fantasyland completely to yourselves right at the beginning, it's not going to be that way because people have already been in Fantasyland for, you know, an hour before you got there. So just kind of depends on what you're wanting to do. Now it's not going to bump up wait times a huge amount, but it will bump them up enough, I think.
But I think I would not change your plans. I would say that it's not going to cost you anything. Yeah, I would definitely you're right. You're not going to feel like Rockstar VIP for the first five minutes, but yeah. It's fine.
just be aware that, you know, it may not be, you know, you won't be the rock star VIPs. Yes, that's kind of what I was getting at. Yeah. Don't change your plans.
No. All right. Next question says, it's from Amanda. Animal Kingdom tours with kids. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I have a question for the podcast. I'll be traveling with my two children, ages 9 and 12, to the Animal Kingdom, and was wondering if there's any special tours that we could do and interact with the animals. I think I've heard something about a tour with elephants or rhinoceroses, but if you could please advise and the approximate cost, thanks so much. Enjoy the podcast and love the positive outlook on everything. Amanda. All right. So, Ricky, what's the current state on tours at Animal Kingdom and 9 and 12-year-olds? Are they old enough to do anything?
Well, so there are two different tours that I am thinking about right now. One is the elephant tour that she mentioned. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Hang on just a second. It's Caring for Giants. It's $30 per person. And the tour, you'll get to meet with dedicated animal specialists who take care of the African elephant herd. You get to see the day-to-day responsibilities as they prepare or as they provide for these elephants. And the ages for this one is ages 4 and up. So yay.
There you go.
Good news on that one. So to book that, you can do that pretty easily. There's also the rhino tour. And of course I need to add this to the master list. Thanks for letting me know that I didn't have that yet. For the rhino tour, you also get to, you know, kind of do the same kind of thing, where you get to see, the rhinoceroses up close and personal. I think you even get to touch one, which is kind of a cool thing. I mean, how often in life can you say, yep, I pet a rhino? I mean, seriously, that would be so cool. Let me do some digging here to check out on how much what the age is for the rhinoceros tour. But up close with rhinos, hang on just a second. I'm trying to pull it up and see what the age range is for this one. So, oh, guests must be 4 years old. So that one's good too.
That seems a little dangerous, like 5-year-olds and rhinoceri, like in the same area. I don't know. Disney's kind of a little lax there. I don't know. That's kind of scary.
And that one cost $40, just so you know.
That's awful cheap, too. Oh, wow. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. Caring for Giants and the Up Close with the Rhinos tour, both are really inexpensive tours. I'm not going to lie. Like, they're really reasonable and they're very unique experiences. So if you have the opportunity, I would 100% do one of these tours.
All right.
Now I'm going to edit the mouse for us. There you go.
wait 10 minutes. We got 10 minutes. All right. Next email is quick service dinner at a resort question from Kaylin. Hey, BOGP crew. My mom and I are headed to Walt Disney, of course, in June of this year. Shout out to my awesome travel agent, somebody, for getting us a great deal at the Polynesian. Well, thank you so much, Kaylin. Here's my question. On the Saturday of our trip, we are headed to Hollywood Studios in the morning, then plan to spend the evening at Disney Springs. We're having 50's Primetime Cafe for lunch. Oh, it sounds so good right now. And would love to have a simple quick service meal at one of the Disney resorts before heading to Disney Springs. We don't want anything that requires a reservation right now. We are tossing around either Landscape of Flavors at Art of Animation or Artist Palette at Saratoga Springs. Which of those do you recommend? Is there somewhere else you would suggest? We know there is a great, great quick service at Disney Springs, but we want to check out a new resort that rules out the Magic Kingdom area, both Port Orleans resorts and most of the value resorts except Art of Animation. Hope that makes sense. Love the podcast. I always listen while I'm grading my papers. It makes the time fly by. Kaylin. Well, Kaylin, thanks for being a teacher. Hang in there, man. It is the worst time of the year. It is like February. If you can survive this month and next month, you're going to make it to summer. So hang in there and been there, done that. All right, so looking for that, you know what? Because it sounds like they're trying to find a resort they haven't been to, so that Magic Monorail Loop's out, Riverside French Quarter out, all the value resorts except AOA. You know what? Landscape of Flavors is a good, it's probably the best food court type meals. Good stuff there. But she's looking for stuff without a reservation, but an easy-to-get reservation's Olivia's, and that's Old Key West. You can go over there, and that also puts you in the Disney Springs area for that night. So that's the one I would throw in. Pam, what do you say? I've never eaten at Artist Palette at Saratoga, I don't think. What do you say to that?
If I was choosing between Landscape of Flavors and Artist Palette, I think I would choose Landscape of Flavors. They just have a lot more choices, so many different things to choose from, and Artist Palette has a really small menu. So just consider that. Landscape of Flavors really does have some decent things. You know, they have some... items that you're just not going to see at other food courts. So check out the menu over at the Mouse for Less. There's some photos of the food there. Those are the things that always help me out too. The one thing I'll say, if you, I don't think that you've mentioned you've been at this one, absolutely go over and try one of the new locations at Caribbean Beach. I know you're looking for sort of a counter service location, but there is a new counter service location over there too. So think about trying that. Or head over to Coronado too. It's the Pepper Market no longer. And you can try that location too. So those are a few other ones just to give you a couple more things to think about.
It's El Mercado del Coronado.
El Mercado, yes.
I will be there in a week. I can't wait. It's still Pepper Market to me. I'm sorry. It'll always be. You know what I'm dying for?
Pepper Market.
I'm dying for that location out in the middle of the lagoon. Oh, I can't wait for that to open. That's going to be so sweet.
It's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. All right, Ricky. So any other thoughts? I was also thinking Geyser Point, too. They didn't say Wilderness Lodge.
True. I have been to Artist Palette, and it was okay. I don't think the menu is that varied. I think it's a good place to go if you are at that resort and are hungry. That's kind of my thought process on it. It's not really one of those places that you should go out of your way for. So I would say Art of Animation is the choice that you should go with. If it's between those two, I probably wouldn't go to Artist Palette.
All righty. Last question of the day comes from Justin. Says, we are taking my mother to Walt Disney World with us in March and are wondering about the available wheelchair rentals at the parks. Should we rent from an outside company? Thoughts? Thanks. Justin's up in Wisconsin. So, Pam, I think it's kind of like this situation is kind of akin to the stroller question, too, that if you take a wheelchair in the parks, you have it in the park, but you don't have it at the resort, which the resorts can be large. I would definitely always go with a third party for something like this, just because you want to have access to something like this 24/7. That's kind of my thoughts. But what do you say?
I agree. We often advise that guests just rent from an outside company for a few reasons. First of all, the price is much lower. It just is. There's some great companies that we can recommend. And secondly, the fact that Mike mentioned that you have it at the resorts. You know, the resorts can be large, you know, and sort of overwhelming. And walking through them can be as challenging as walking through the park. So when you have it all the time, I think you'll really appreciate that.
All right, bonus question real quick, because James has been in the chat with us all night and giving us witty comments all day. He says, thoughts on the dine-in movie, not 100% sure on the name, for 3 and 5-year-olds. I think he's talking about sci-fi dine-in over at the studios. Ricky, what would you say? I think it's so novel that it would keep their attention.
Yeah, definitely. Although I know some people are a little worried that it might be scary. I mean, I don't know how scary it is. It depends on your little ones. If they scare easy, then it could potentially be. I think it would be fun for that age group for sure. Do keep in mind though that you don't sit in because there's three of them, so they won't be sitting in the same because it's only two per row. So he may want to sit behind if it's just the three of them. I don't know.
Well, we don't know for sure how many people totally be. Yeah, but yeah, definitely.
Well, that's true. I just meant like if it was the three of them, he would, they can't all sit in the same row.
True. All right. Well, thanks so much for the great questions. Keep sending those in to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those on a future episode. You can also hit us on the social media with those as well. And don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to head to the best destinations on Earth, which are the Disney destinations, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, drop by themagicforless.com first. Check out all the great specials. Check out the testimonials. Check out the booking bonuses. You get a lot of stuff there. And it's the best part about it is it's absolutely free to get those booking bonuses too. And you're going to get amazing service. It's a win-win for everybody, and you support the show. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Thanks again for the continued support with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do that online shopping, we sure appreciate it when you click through that link. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestPod and @BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to turn you loose and let you have fun on this 3-day weekend here in the States. Thank you, as always. I know you've had a lot of us this week, four shows this week, like in the old days. You got the live show on Thursday, surprise! And you got us here, and you got a lot of Be Our Guests. So thanks so much for sticking with us. We can't thank you enough for that. And, of course, we'll be back again on Monday with another show. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe and have a lot of fun, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.